Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our second broadcast. Our first video did not go to YouTube for some reason. It messed up. Oh, it's working. We're on YouTube now. So let us know once you're in the chat. We were talking and going, and then everyone was on YouTube saying, where are you guys at? I'm like, we're live. But for whatever reason, Restream did not go to YouTube. So welcome to the show, episode 192 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I feel like I just said that because I did. I have my good friend, Pastor Mike Signorelli, who I will not be calling Pastor for the remainder because this is my brother. I'll be calling him Mike Signorelli. But Mike, how are you doing tonight after this little hiccup, bro?
Please call me Mike. Shout out Alyssa in the Saldivar family. Shout out Everly, who's watching right now, my 10-year-old, who, by the way, her favorite Demon Slayer is Isaiah. I just want to go public with that. And she asked me, can I stay up late to watch his stream? And I'm like, yes, and do whatever he says to do.
I love it. Julie tagged me in a video of her watching me like super late at night. And I have to remind myself, like, man, we have these young viewers, and I love the young viewers watching. And when my brother makes thumbnails, I'll do like, hey, we're going to teach on deliverance, and he'll have like a super scary thumbnail with demons. I'm like, no, we have young viewers. I think of Everly. I'm like, that would scare Everly. We have to change the thumbnail. And so shout out to
She's
Everly.
We
love you. You're a legend. Yeah, I got to remember that kids are watching. But everybody, welcome. For those of you asking why I sound like a mix between Kermit the Frog and the Dark Knight, is because I preached five times on Sunday, so my voice is gone. But we're here. We're going for it. My voice is coming back. It'll be fine. Listen, Mike preaches like eight times a week. I'm soft. I preach five times. He's like, bro, don't cry about it. I do that every single week, four times a week. So here we are. We're super excited for what God's going to do tonight. And I honestly believe, whether you believe in generational curses or not, God's going to break generational curses off of people. God's going to deliver people. There is delivering power. Again, whether you believe in it or not. You know, there's a lot of people, Mike, that don't believe that Christians could have demons until they manifest. I've had pastors tell me, I don't believe in Christians having demons. And then they manifest a month later and they call me and say, hey, I'm so sorry. I was at a friend's house. They were praying over me. I started screaming and growling. I believe now. And so everybody is an unbeliever on certain topics until they experience it. And I believe tonight God's going to set people free with his power. And so thank you so much for being on to talk about this topic. I know it's a hot topic. Listen, guys, here's the thing. I know some of you are going to say, well, my favorite preacher so-and-so said that it's not this. And my favorite preacher, this is our channel tonight. This is our live stream. This is not your favorite preacher so-and-so's channel. We're going to talk about what we believe the word of God says, what we've seen God do. And we're going to share biblical references of generational curses, and then we're going to pray for there to be freedom. Mike, do you have any opening thoughts on this whole thing? I know it's going viral. You've done a few debates we won't mention on this topic. And yeah, you want to talk about any of that at all?
Yeah, let me just say the Holy Spirit refocused me just minutes before we went live and reminded me that this is ministry. And so there's many people watching right now that are on a divine appointment, and God is going to deal with some things in their life. And so, of course, we're going to talk about the scriptures, and I've done years and years worth of research on this topic, which is why I went on to multiple theological channels and debated this, even came out of the echo chamber. But at the end of the day, it's about ministry. It's about seeing people get set free. And so maybe you guys have watched some of those other videos or other people's videos, but I will tell you this, Isaiah, and I know you know this. What's the fruit of watching some of this stuff? Sometimes you get done with somebody else's video and like you're disturbed in your spirit. You feel argumentative. You feel the fruit of the flesh, right? And then there's other times where let me put it like this. Like there's other times where you're like, no, undeniably God was there. God was speaking to me. The Holy Spirit was working. And I feel like I got a reminder right before you hit live that this is about ministry. And just like you said, good. In experience, I've got Derek Prince's book, They Shall Expel Demons, in front of me, which I've been rereading. And you literally just said the very thing that he says in the book as well. So yeah, this is going to be great.
Mike, really quick. So earlier you sent me a little video of a part of Derek Prince's book. I don't know if you have that in front of you, but I think that's okay. Can you read that portion? This, I believe, applies not only to deliverance and casting out demons, but this also, in my opinion, applies to generational curses. Because I do know there's a lot of you in the chat. There's over 1,000 of you already. Keep sharing, please. That don't believe Christians could have generational curses. And I just want you to hear something that Derek Prince says, highly respected Greek scholar. I mean, this man was well respected, studied Greek for 40, 50 plus years. And I might be longer than that, but just read a quote from his book when it comes to people that don't believe in Christians having demons. This is so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And They Shall Expel Demons is a classic book. And just as Isaiah mentioned, this is an Ivy League level scholar, and he was very well respected. And he's somebody that within the theological, basically the theological schools was, you know, sought after, but he also had a lot of controversy because he was doing the work of ministry. And so I've just been rereading this book because, you know, what a scripture says that we should examine our lives, but we should also examine our doctrine. And so I've been going through a season of examining my life, examining my doctrine. As you know, Isaiah, I just recently went back to school. So I'm a student right now at Regent University. I'm getting my master's in theology. And so I've just been like, man, what do I really, you know, because I've been in the game. I've been preaching since the late 90s, and I pastor a 7-location church now. So I'm like, man, for the sake of the people that I'm leading, like, what do I truly believe? Let me re-examine. Let me just, you know, go back into the foundation to see if there's any cracks or crevices that need to be filled. And so anyways, I'm on page 193. It's chapter 16. And the question is, do Christians ever need deliverance from demons? And this is the portion that I read earlier today in our Demon Slayer chat. Says, at one time, an official publication of a major denomination classified Don Basham and me as heretics because we were casting demons out of Christians. And so they asked the question, like, what are we supposed to do? I asked Don, leave the demons in them?
Come on.
And so like, really, like, Derek Prince's response to the question, you know, can a Christian have a demon, was, what are we supposed to do? Leave the demons in them? I mean, it was like so much as like a given. But let me just read this next part because it's inspiring. The charge against us was based, of course, on the assumption that Christians could never have demons that would need to be cast out. Later, this charge was apparently forgotten because churches belonging to that same denomination have since invited me to minister deliverance.
Wow.
And so I sent that little excerpt from They Shall Expel Demons to our chat today because I was like, guys, Derek Prince, genius level IQ, renowned theologian, was literally getting pushback from an entire denomination. And then years later, got invited back to that same denomination to do deliverance.
That's
and so
good.
I guess to all the people who are wrestling, like, I don't understand, you know, I don't know if, you know, how can the Holy Spirit coexist with the demonic spirit? And they're wrestling through all these questions. You know, typically that skepticism is the first round, but as people continue to get free and as people actually search the scriptures for themselves, I believe the next round is going to be I'm kind of prophesying right now, but denominations and churches that you would never think would embrace deliverance, I believe that in the years to come are going to be inviting me and my friends and others like us to their churches and denominations to do deliverance.
That's so good. And I think people, for example, that are in here tonight already saying, you know, there's no more curses because of the cross. We're going to discuss all of that. So just stick around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fine. You can heckle and just stay with us and we're going to break that down. But the bottom line is they don't believe in it until it happens. So people come and say, well, I don't believe Christians can have demons, or I don't believe Christians can have curses. But then there's a Christian that comes to us saying, my mom struggled with this, my dad struggled with this, my uncle, my grandparents, and I've had this thing I've struggled with. And you say Christians can't have generational curses, but I do. But I do. Am I not a Christian because you don't believe that I can be under some type of curse? And so it's nice in theory, and it's very an emotional right. argument to say this can't be, but it is. And there are people yeah. struggling right now with these things, and you can spam the chat, you can write your books all you want saying that Christians can't have generational curses, but they do. And that's the thing we have to wrestle with. I think a lot of us are out of touch with reality. And because, and I'm just gonna say it the way it is, the guys that make videos, the guys that say these things are out of touch because they're not working with people. They're not in the yeah. nitty gritty. They're not dealing with people in a ministry capacity. So they're, and I hate to say it this way, they're making YouTube videos, but they're not actually hands-on in the dirt dealing with people that are going through stuff. So they just don't hear about people that are struggling. And I feel like a lot of pastors are out of touch. So they make up theology yeah. like, Christians can't have demons. Like, yeah, just because you don't deal with people that are in bondage doesn't mean nobody's in bondage. Christians can't have generational curses. Well, yeah, because you don't deal with people that have generational curses doesn't mean it's not a biblical reality. So I do believe there's biblical precedence, but also I think there's so many people struggling that want freedom, but have never realized that this is a thing, never acknowledged it. And we'll discuss the whole, well, what about the cross and Jesus died? Doesn't that break every curse? Now, there is a curse of the law and the curse of sin and death, but that doesn't negate every single curse in scripture. There's like 30 to 40 curses in one chapter in the Bible. And we think like, whoa, now that Jesus died, every curse in all of scripture is gone. Every demon in all of scripture is no longer, you know, is void now. When in reality, that's just not what the Bible teaches. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot to jump into. I do want to talk about, because you did just write a book on generational curses. Yes. So if we didn't talk about that, it would be a huge fail. I've linked the book in the description. Of course, we're going to go like an hour tonight, but we can't cover the whole book in an hour. There's going to be way more stuff that goes deeper. So we're not going to go into that depth of answering every single question the book answers. But let's just start a little bit talking about what inspired you to write an entire book discussing generational curses. The book's called Inherit Your Freedom. It's a legacy book. It's a book about freedom. It's a book about freedom in your generational line. How did this book come about? And like, what was the inspiration behind even you jumping in to talk about generational curses?
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, guys, do yourself a favor and go back and just rewind the last 5 minutes of what Isaiah said. The whole time you're talking, I'm thinking, where was he while I was debating this? I could have used
tag
that.
Me in,
okay,
coach. Tag me in.
That was straight up fire. And we are going to get into that. And I'm very empathetic to the people who are in the comments saying, like, you know, the things they're saying, which we're going to address that. Now, let me just say this. When you go to the doctor and they do their first assessment, they're going to ask you, hey, like, do you have any disposition towards heart disease, or, you know, like basically what runs in your family, diabetes? So it's generally well understood that physical illnesses can actually run in the family. I mean, even a secular doctor, yes, will take inventory of those things. And so for me, and I love the way you set it up, because I'm a practitioner. I don't talk about ministry. I don't teach ministry in the ivory tower of academia. I do ministry. Matter of fact, some of my favorite ministry moments of the last 5 years have been next to Isaiah Saldivar, casting out demons and praying for people. And, you know, something changes when you actually get into people's lives and situations. And so I've been shepherding and pastoring people for many years. And I've been taking them through this journey of getting free and then becoming sanctified, you know, which sanctification is a process, as you know. And then I was like, man, I need to really make a book that identifies like what people have inherited. And maybe it's biological, but maybe it's emotional. Maybe, you know, inheritance. And I believe I made a pretty good argument for ancestral sin and the consequences of it, and how you can actually inherit even ways of thinking. And I looked at it from a scientific perspective. I included all kinds of citations from these really cutting edge research studies that have been recently done. And then also said, but, you know, could it also have been demonic? And let's talk about these things. Matter of fact, so in my book, it took me forever to do this because I wanted this to be like super practical. I ended up even figuring out how to make tests and quizzes that you can take and fill the quizzes out. And then it'll give you basically a score that you can go and determine what you inherited and how to deal with it. And so in many ways, I feel like it's sort of a different.
Oh no. Did we lose him? No.
Book is off the charts.
Oh, he's back.
Like,
he's
absolutely.
Back. Can you hear me?
Oh, did you lose me?
Yeah, we lost you. Go ahead. You said you made quizzes. That was the last thing I think we heard, and you froze.
Man, come on. What is
Devil's
going on?
Devil's a liar,
over here?
Man. Devil's
For
a
real,
liar.
For real, man. Like, it was good. Okay, so I made quizzes and tests in the book to help people basically diagnose what they're dealing with, whether it's demonic, whether it's things in the mind. And this is really this book is the culmination of 20 years of practical ministry experience. And here's how I know it worked. I haven't done a formal marketing campaign yet, but just word of mouth, there are whole churches that are doing Inherit Your Freedom in small groups. And this thing is just going crazy. Of course, you're the only book that keeps hit number one repeatedly and giving me a run for my
help
money.
Help us, Lord, help us.
But, you know, I was raised in an incredibly dysfunctional family. And so there's like genetic disease on my dad's side. There's poverty. There's lust and perversion on my mom and dad's side. There's divorce. And what I show in the book is, you know, when you do a sin repeatedly, it becomes iniquity. And so that's the most basic definition of iniquity is a repeated sin that becomes your identity. And so it's like, let me give you an example. Like if you get drunk one time, you shouldn't have gotten drunk. You've sinned. But to get drunk repeatedly, now that becomes a lifestyle and you are a drunkard. You're an alcoholic. So in other words, like repeated sin becomes your identity, which is the biblical definition of iniquity. And the Old Testament talks about how the iniquity of the fathers will be passed down to the third and fourth generation. So it's not saying that like, oh, a one-time sin that your father did gets passed down to the third and fourth generation. But what it's saying is like the things that your ancestor did habitually, they end up becoming iniquities. And God, because he's just, because he's holy, because he's righteous, what happens is you're visited with the iniquity, the curse. So, you know, in other scriptures say, choose today the blessing or the curse. And, you know, and the Bible talks about this. It's a very well-established concept of the Old Testament. And that's why in the book of Galatians, it says that basically Christ hung on a tree and became a curse to free us from the curse. And so when you have like a whole Bible approach, like when you look at the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, it's like Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He actually came to fulfill it. And so when you connect covenants and you read the whole Bible, you understand that curses are real, number one, but so are the blessings of God. And so because it's covenantal language, and so there's blessing and there's cursing. And then because of Christ, we actually have access as Gentiles. So like if you're a non-Jew, because of Christ to get grafted into the family of God, and then we become basically inheritors. And so the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come into that lineage, into that narrative. And so I was basically writing this book to say, hey, and then this is crazy, Isaiah, because I know I'm talking a lot. I'm going to kick it back to you in a second.
It's your interview, bro. Go and talk as much as you want.
Well, I talk about, like, okay, here's the thing. If you go to, I mean, page 39 of my book basically has the breakdown, but Matthew chapter 1 gives the entire lineage of Jesus. And so the genealogy of Jesus mattered. And what's crazy is like you actually have, you've got a harlot in the genealogy of Jesus. And the reason why that's important is because like first century listeners would have heard Matthew chapter 1 and they would have been hearing the genealogy of Jesus and gasping. Isaiah, they would have been like, oh, what? Like you're telling me the savior of the world has that in his bloodline? And it was as if they were saying yes, because what Jesus is going to represent is it may run in your bloodline, but you are where it runs out. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so genealogy matters. And so what I did in the book is I basically created all these tests and quizzes and things where you can break down your ancestry. But here's something crazy. Let me connect it now. I went through They Shall Expel Demons. I felt like after debating all of this theology online for like 12 hours cumulatively, I felt like super exhausted emotionally because I feel like there's some people that they just don't want to receive the truth no matter how plainly you put it. But then I felt like the Holy Spirit led me to reread They Shall Expel Demons because I'm like, what did Derek Prince talk about concerning curses? And again, this is another part of the book. My jaw dropped because it's so similar to my book. And we know it's the same Holy Spirit, but this is what he says. And I think this is going to help your listeners. He says, the evil consequences of these particular sins of our ancestors can extend to four generations according to Scripture. And we're quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and 5, which basically says like, hey, the consequences of worshiping other gods and occult practices and false religions is the iniquity, this habitual sin, this identity that you have now as being idolatrous. The sins are going to pass down to the third and fourth generation. But this is what he says. he goes, if you count backwards for four generations, it gives us four levels of ancestors. You have two parents, you have four grandparents, you have eight great grandparents, and then you have 16 great great grandparents. So biblically, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 5, you have 30, there's 30 people that you are connected to the consequences wow. of their sin. So like that's 30 insane. People. So it's like to think that you know what all 30 of those people did. What kind of witchcraft, what kind of sorcery, what kind of divination, what kind of sexual perversion? There's 30 people that you're connected to the consequences. And I just want to say this and then I'll kick it back. He uses the word consequences, okay? But Derek Prince also uses the word curse. So I want to make a distinction for the listeners because I knew this before I wrote, ironically, before I wrote Inherit Your Freedom, I knew that there were a lot of arguments theologically over this because, as you know, Isaiah, I spent time with Tim Keller in the Reformed Gospel Coalition world. In my 20s, I spent time with in the Acts 29 network with, you know, Mark Driscoll and those kind of guys who, by the way, Mark Driscoll used to do deliverance all the time. And I think his church, Mars Hill, called it demon interrogations or something. So like even Driscoll was doing deliverance back in the day. So I know a lot of the arguments and I know a lot of the presentations. So ironically, when I wrote Inherit Your Freedom, I tried to like checkmate people to be like, hey, whether you believe it's a literal curse post-salvation, like Derek Prince did, and we could talk about that later, or if you believe that it's actually Christ broke all curses upon salvation, but you still are dealing with the consequences. So I tried to write the book in such a way where it's like whether you believe it's a post-salvation consequence or a post-salvation curse, we're still going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And what I think is hilarious is it still ended up being controversial, you know?
Yeah. I think people have the idea that even though you're forgiven of sin, like the consequences is also gone. And what you see through scripture is that although God would forgive someone, there's still a consequence to a lot of certain sins. For example, David and Bathsheba, God says, David, you're forgiven. But the consequence, even though you're forgiven, the consequence is the sword will never leave your house. And what was easy for you before, you now have to work for. So yes, you're forgiven.
Right.
Yes, you're cleansed. If you do a crime and you go to the Lord and the Lord says, you're forgiven of that crime, guess what? You're still going to end up turning yourself into law enforcement, which is the right thing that you should do. And you're going to have to do jail time. I know guys that are in jail because they turned themselves in from doing a crime and they got saved, got convicted and said, I need to go pay the price. And this is one of the things see when it comes to generational curses, and you can call them generational consequences. I think we should call them curses because it's a little bit stronger. And I think consequences is kind of a cop out to not be controversial. But I think one of the things is you're dealing with a decision somebody else made in your bloodline, and you have to make the choice that it's going to stop with me. You know, I had a very interesting experience when I first got saved. And again, I don't talk and in my mind think, oh, I got to be careful what I say because the heresy hunters are going to make a video. They can make the video they want. They're going to always find a video to make. They're always going to look for content. They don't have, you know, original content, so they have to use our content to pay their bills, and that's fine. So I'm not going to use a filter when I talk. I'm not going to say, oh, I know if I say that a heresy hunter is going to like that. I'm just going to say it the way it is and how it happened. I got saved, and I don't know how long went by, maybe a month, probably at least, I would say, a couple months. One night I'm praying, and the Lord revealed to me, you have a generational curse. This was after going through deliverance. This was after being born again. I was not living in sin. I was born again, new person, old me had died. No more drinking, no more cussing, no more pornography. I was set free, right? But the Lord in prayer revealed it to me. And how many of you know when you pray, the Lord will reveal stuff to you and show you areas of your life that need to change. And he was like, you have a generational curse that needs to be broken. So I'm like, okay, I don't know. What do I do? And so I text a friend of mine like, hey, it was very late at night and my friend Roy, I said, Roy, will you come over and pray for me? Because I want this to break. I don't know how to break it. I don't know what to do. Just pray over me. And he prayed over me. And again, I don't have a theology for this. I don't have a verse I could show you in the New Testament. I'll just tell you what happened to me. That's the bottom line. I don't gain nothing or lose nothing from telling you this. I started full on manifesting while he started praying for me. This thing was talking out of me. It was saying that it's been there for generations. It was saying what its name was. And for the sake of protecting family, I won't go into all the detail, but it started telling me, you know, it's been in my bloodline for seven generations. It's destroyed this. It's destroyed that. I mean, this thing was talking out of me. It wasn't like,
Yeah.
Do you hear something? Say what you hear. It wasn't that. It was just this thing took over and started saying all this stuff out of me as my friend was praying for me. And I went through complete deliverance that night. Now, I'm not saying every one of you, I don't have a theology for it. I'm not going to write a book on my experience of getting free from a generational curse. My point is, something was in my life that needed to break that ran in my family. And I had to make a choice. And some of you need to type this in the chat. It ran in my family until it ran into me. I'm stopping it. It ends now. And some of you men need to make that choice. I will not pass pornography down to my kids. I will not pass alcohol addiction down to my kids. I will not pass anger down to my kids. I will not pass jealousy down to my kids. Get out of your lazy theology. Get out of your arguments and say, there's something in my life. My dad dealt with it. My grandfather dealt with it. My great-grandfather dealt with it. My great-great-grandfather dealt with it. And I'm not going to allow my kids to deal with this. I'm breaking this. And this is what blows my mind, Mike. Doctors and secular psychologists believe in this. They believe in generational consequences. And the Bible gives it language. But for some reason, Christians are like, I just don't believe it's biblical. I'm like, what do you mean? The word curse is over 230 times in the Bible. And this all has to do with a lot of Christians throw out the Old Testament. Guys, if you think the Old Testament does not apply, you have not read the New Testament. Jesus goes, I didn't come to abolish everything in the Old Covenant. I came to fulfill. We don't just get rid of the Old Testament. And there's too many of these New Age pastors that it's not in the New Covenant. It's not in the New Testament. Yeah, but you have to understand the Bible is a complete picture. We don't just cut out the Old Testament. And if you just only have the Old Testament, you do not have the full picture of Scripture. Duh, that's why the Bible has 66 books and not just the New Testament. So I think if you look at the totality of the Scripture, you are going to see an argument and a case for generational curses. And also, this is something interesting to me. The Bible is so specific about actions cause curses. For example, there's 37 biblical curses, specific curses that if you do something, something will come upon you, a curse. So things like, I have a whole list, I won't go through the whole list, but fornication, dishonoring your parents, sex before marriage, defrauding your neighbor, marrying a woman and her mother. I mean, that's that specific. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 14. Children conceived out of wedlock, rape, murder, murder for hire. That's paying for someone to murder. Forsaking the Lord, worshiping idols, failing to give God glory, robbing God of tithes and offerings. These are all just actions that in the Bible lead into curses. Yet for some reason, again, we're like, we throw out these thinking, well, now that I'm a believer, everything's gone. I can do whatever I want. These things don't apply to me. And we have a lot of Christians that think because they're under the blood, they can live reckless. Because they're under the blood, they can do whatever they want and none of these things apply, when that's just not what we see in Scripture. Now, Jesus does deliver us from the curse of the law and the curse of sin and death. But it doesn't say, now that Jesus is here, every single curse in all of the Old Covenant and all of the Bible is no longer valid. It just doesn't say that. And it also doesn't say, now that Jesus came, every demon's gone and there's no more demons. In fact, Jesus said, the devil is the ruler of this world. The book of Revelation says that the devil rules the entire world and everybody's under his power. And so, again, we have Christians teaching, well, now that Jesus died, there's no more demons, there's no more devil, there's no more battle. But then we have Jesus himself saying, there's a battle. We have Paul in Ephesians 6, after the cross, saying, our battle is not flesh and blood. We're battling demons and spirits and principalities and powers. So again, it's an emotional thing. I love the idea that there's no more battle. There's no more curses. There's no more demons. Everything's done. The cross, there's nothing at all. You don't have to fight anything. But then we look at humanity. We look at society. You're doing a disservice by making the enemy seem like he doesn't exist. You're doing a disservice.
Yeah.
That's what the devil wants, Mike. He does not want you to believe that there's curses, because if you believed in them, you'd fight them. He does not want you to believe in demons, because if you believed in demons, you'd get free. So he lulls you to sleep saying, oh, don't worry, those aren't real anymore. Now that what Jesus did, don't worry, there's no demons, there's no curses, there's nothing to fight. And then Jesus is like, I told you that there's an adversary of your soul. I told you the ruler of this world is coming. I told you that. Peter goes, I told you that he's looking for someone to devour like a roaring lion, and you're saying he doesn't exist? So I think we're just, in a lot of areas, delusional. We're in denial, and we need to, and this is what I think your book does, is it helps us come to grips with, there is things that we fight against, but guess what? There is victory, and there is victory in Christ. That's what we're trying to say. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you could apply that victory. But how many of you know the blood must be applied? You can't just say, well, Jesus died and there's blood. Well, yeah, but did you apply that blood to your, did you apply that blood to your life? Right? If you didn't apply the blood over the door in the book in Egypt, the spirit of death kills you. You can't just say, well, I have blood. Well, apply the blood. Apply the power. Apply, you know, the power of God and salvation. So I get fired up talking about it. I think we have to stop with this whole none of this matters anymore, because it's in the Bible. It's all through scripture. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, there's victory in Christ. But we need to apply that victory. We need to believe in that victory. And we need to receive that victory so we can walk in it. Go ahead, Mike. I'm talking long.
Yeah,
this is your interview, bro. The title is with Mike Signorelli, and I'm taking over. I'm sorry, bro. I get all fired up.
Take the gloves off. Come on, man. Take the gloves off and let's bare knuckle fight these lies and these deceptions and really these doctrines of demons that I think are being perpetuated on the internet. You got me over here charging up the whole time you're talking. Look, because here's what they're going to tell you, Isaiah. But wait a second, brother. What about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? I've become a new creation. But here's my question back to you. Which part of you became a new creation? You know, Derek Prince would say, when you got saved, when you experienced salvation, what was the minimum thing that happened? And what's the maximum thing that can happen? In other words, he would say, and I'm repeating a very classic Derek Prince, if you have terminal cancer and you accept Christ as your savior, okay, what happens to your body after that moment? Well, you still have terminal cancer. Now, we'll pray for you. We believe that you can be healed. We've seen cancer cells die. There might be somebody watching right now who's going to get healed right now. But my point is, there's a distinction that we need to make between the body and the spirit. In the same way, the guy who was crucified next to Jesus, Jesus said, surely today you'll be in paradise with me. That dude died. That guy died day. So he was a new creation. He put his faith in Christ as his savior. And I want to say this out loud. Here's the gospel. One of the best illustrations of the gospel is the man hanging next to Jesus who can do nothing. He can't serve in his local church. He can't give in the offering. He can do nothing. He never went to a Bible study, and simply he accepted Christ. He believed he was Messiah. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that he is the Savior. You will be saved. And so I love that. We preach the gospel, right? I just want to go on record. We preach the gospel. But here's the thing. That guy died. And his body stayed dead. And Christ said, today you'll be in paradise with me. And so here's the question that I want to, because I'm pushing back on people, is what was the minimum thing that happens upon salvation and what's the maximum? And what Derek Prince would say is when you accepted Christ as Savior, your spirit was regenerated, but now we know your mind needs to be renewed and we know that your body needs to be resurrected. So especially like when we talk about deliverance, like, okay, I was just reading this today and they shall expel demons. It's like you talk about Philip. It's like he's baptizing people, bringing them into the kingdom. But there's a separate and distinct action of casting out demons. So why didn't he just say, you know what? Many of you need to be free from demons. Just accept Christ as Savior and all the demons will come out instantaneously because the Holy Spirit can't dwell with the demon spirit. The act of expelling demons was always separate than a declaration of the kingdom and separate than baptism. Good. And so I think in many ways, Isaiah, we're not doing anything new. We're actually going back to biblical Christianity. It just feels new to a whole bunch of people who have Constantinian Christianity, who have denominational Christianity. You know, just because you always did it that way in the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Presbyterian church, me and you, like the way that we do ministry, like literally the first century apostles would watch us and they'd be like, I don't speak their language, but what they're doing is dangerously close to what we're doing. And so I say all this to say one thing, okay? I want to challenge everybody who's watching right now. If you can still have persistent cancer after salvation, If you can still have persistent mental illness after salvation, then what does salvation do? Maybe you need to go back to the Bible. Now, there's two theologians that like I wanted to focus on. One is Sam Storms, which you know him, right?
Yeah, he has good stuff. I don't know him personally, but I've used some of his content before. We have some mutual friends. Great stuff.
Yeah, Sam Storms got some great material. And I wanted to know, out of curiosity, how does he feel about all of this? Now, Sam Storms would say that there are no curses post-salvation. It's just consequences. But what I found interesting about Sam Storms is that he still, and I found one of his blogs where he was talking about this. He was like, I still see, essentially, I'm recapping, I still see tremendous value in assessing what you've inherited as a means of sanctification. Now, just to like juxtapose that with what Derek Prince says, Derek Prince would call it curses, right? I obviously call it curses. I wrote an entire book that the cover of it says, you know, literally break generational curses. But what he would say, and you know how you went back and you listed all of the individual sins and you were like, hey, there's over 30 times where an individual sin gets visited with a curse. Well, it's like, and then you talked about applying the blood, which I've got a sermon on my channel that's approaching 100,000 views that talks about the seven ways to apply the blood. And I believe the same thing. Like, and I, as a matter of fact, I was preaching, if the blood stays in the basin, it has no power. You have to take that hyssop branch and you have to apply it over the doorpost of your life. And so what Derek Prince would be saying is like, what he would say is like, there's salvation, which is your spirit being regenerated. But then there is this process of sanctification where you now deal with individual sins that deal with the curses that have individual curses attached to them. So in other words, like if there's occult practices in your family, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you're still under the curse of the occult and you need to deal with that because you specifically did not confess that sin. And I think now here would be my New Testament like reference for that would be like the conversation about like when you commit sexual sin, it's as if you sin against your own body. So it's like there is New Testament language about the differentiation between sins and the effects of them. And so it's like when we talk about curses, you know, choose today a blessing, choose a curse, and then these things that happen through bloodline. I think if Derek Prince were here and I was able to give voice to him, because I've been rereading his materials, he would just say, yes, when you accepted Christ as Messiah, you receive salvation. Like you mentioned yourself, Isaiah, the curse of the law and sin is broken. But then he would differentiate and say that there are individual curses that need to be addressed. I know Bob Larson would say the same thing. You know, and just like your friend who prayed for you and you got that revelation that there was a curse that went so many generations back. And the last thing I want to say, and I'll kick it back to you again, is there's a whole section of They Shall Expel Demons where Derek Prince basically says, I'm going to present to you all the scriptures I can, which is a systematic like theology, you know, where you basically like a comprehensive theology. But then I'm also going to just explain how I've traveled all over the world praying for people. And my experiences are actually corroborating my theology. And I think that's important. Let me just end on this. I think that's important for a couple of reasons. The word Trinity is nowhere to be found in the Bible. Like you will not find the word Trinity, right?
Yeah.
But if you have a systematic theology, if you have a whole Bible approach, you'll be able to take all of the scriptures in proper context and you will draw the conclusion of the Trinity. You'll become a Trinitarian. And so in the same way, it's like when you take a whole Bible approach to generational curses, basically what Derek Prince was saying was that you'll draw the conclusion that even after salvation, you have to deal with individual ancestral sins that are being enforced with a curse that needs to be broken. And some people listening right now would be like, oh,
I lost you again. No. Hopefully it loads back. I have my other camera loaded in case I have to go. There you go. You're back.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
We lost you again. You froze. Go ahead. You were saying some people would say, and then we lost you.
Yeah, man, I am so sorry. That's I've got a gig up right now. I literally tested it before, but who knows? Who knows what's going on here that doesn't want you guys to hear the truth. But just to wrap it on this point is that, you know, people have individual sins that need to be addressed. And because there can't, in fact, be a curse that's attached to that. And that's what Derek Prince would say. And so it's not something that creates paranoia. It's not something that's supposed to diminish the power of the cross. But I do think that it's enforcing the power of the cross. And that goes back to my original assertion of when you get saved, what's the minimum and what's the maximum? And so in other words, you have access to more if you enforce more. And that's the way Derek Prince would have taught it. That's what I see in his book, They Shall Expel Demons. And really, the way that I wrote my book, which is called Inherit Your Freedom, is...
Lost him again. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Somebody said, it ends now. The curse breaks. Sorry, we lost you again. Are you there? Oh no, the devil's a liar, guys, from not being able to stream to now losing him twice. Hopefully he comes back. We're going to see if we can get him back in here. There we go. Are you back?
I think I'm back.
I hear you, but there we go. Your camera keeps freezing, but I hear you.
That is so crazy. Okay. I'm so sorry. I have no idea.
We'll let it load there. No, I think what you're saying is so key. And also I want to say this. You mentioned this when you were just talking, is that when you start, and I'm unapologetically going to say this, when you start doing deliverance, you will see so many of these things that you didn't believe are actually the case. Yeah. Like ancestral demons, right? You deal with people in deliverance and the demon will say, we've been passed down in their bloodline. We've been passed down from generation to generation. You see that over and over and over and over again. And you go, well, where in the New Testament does it talk about demons being passed down in the bloodline? Well, that we'd call an argument from silence. Because you're saying just because the Bible specifically doesn't mention that exact thing, it can't be true. When in reality, the Bible's not exhaustive. You could read the entire New Testament in 12 hours and you're not going to find every specific thing for every specific spiritual principle. And you know what? The Bible says that you're not going to find everything in the Bible. Because in John said, if everything Jesus did was in Scripture, it would take up the entire world. So not every single little principle, every single thing Jesus did is right there in the text. Jesus did way more stuff than we see because the Bible is not exhaustive. So we don't argue from the fact that, well, we don't have a verse that says this exactly. Doesn't mean it's not the case. Doesn't mean it's not real or can't happen. And there's just a lot of people struggling and they struggle for years. And for those of you asking for a few of the verses we've quoted, for those jumping on, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Yeah. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed shall live. So what do you mean? What are you talking about? Your seed. It's your children. It's the next generation. And the other verse we quoted is Exodus 34, verse 7. Says, God says, this is what God says, that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and the fourth generation. So this is something that was known, that the sin, the iniquity would be passed down. And then again, Deuteronomy, you have entire chapters where it talks about curses. Go to Deuteronomy 23, go to Deuteronomy 22. Over and over again, we're going to see if you do this, you will come under the consequences of this. So yes, we have forgiveness and there is power, but there's consequences to our sin. And a lot of us want to live a consequenceless life where I can sin as much as I want, do whatever I want, and there's no punishment and there's no penalty. But again, guys, the Bible goes on and says, if you keep sinning after coming to the knowledge and saying you've been free and you know it's wrong, then John says, you're a son of the devil, not a son of God. So you can't just keep on thinking there's no more consequence. There's no more curse. There's no more penalty. Just because Jesus died doesn't mean you're exempt from do whatever you want now. Because now that Jesus died and you're covered in the blood, you can live however you want. And the Bible says if you keep on, there's no longer remains even blood left for repentance. So we have to acknowledge there's something going on in my family. There's something going on in my bloodline. There's something that needs to be broken. So let's talk about in a practical sense. I don't think it's as mystical as people think of like, we have to do all of these formulas to break curses. What would you say to the person in the chat and your camera's coming in clear now, thank God. And guys, here's the deal. We know there's spirits at work. We know the devil does not want us out there. We're not over spiritual. We don't spiritualize everything. But I will say, I had issues tonight on my stream I've never had in 6 years of streaming, right? Yeah. It didn't go live on YouTube, but it showed the YouTube page as going live, but it wasn't live. Never had that happen in 6 years. We know that when we talk about these topics, the powers that be, the ruler of this world, the spirits and principalities are not happy about these broadcasts. Cameras are freezing. Internets are going out. Things aren't loading. Streams aren't working. Servers are going down. It is what it is, guys. We're going to overcome. We're going to win. I do want to address this, though. In simple terms, what if somebody's in the chat and says, I have a curse that I want to break. What would your advice be to them that they're trying to get free? Of course, we're going to pray a prayer tonight and pray for you guys. But what would your advice be to somebody that says, I want to break free from, let's say, a generational curse in my life?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know the devil's mad. Let me just, hopefully this gets through what I'm about to say. So, but before I say that, I just had this experience a couple weeks ago. So I won't say who my internet provider is, but I have a gig up and a gig down and I was having issues and they came out to my house three times. Finally, the guy said, he said, bro, we have never seen this. Now I live in New York City, 10 million residents. Like it's no joke out here. And he was like, we actually had to trace the problem all the way back to our facility. And he was like, there's three bands that the internet's on and we only test for two. And the third band was completely fried only on where your source is. And he was like, we've never had to do this before. We actually had to change a card out just for your isolated internet to get to your house. And he was like, and he kept saying like, this is such an anomaly. We've never seen this before. And my team was laughing because we're like, yeah, this is spiritual warfare. Like there is something different when, you know, it's sometimes it's just technological failure and sometimes it is like a supernatural thing. And I'm willing to embrace the fact that that's what's happening tonight. Cause you're right. Like what's happening on your side was weird. What's happening on my side. So think about it. What is so powerful about the information of this stream that we had to start and make a new stream, internet messed up. And by the way, that everybody else has to make their spin-off videos of this to talk about how there isn't curses when clearly there's many of you in the chat right now who are like, actually, it was when I acknowledged that I had a curse and I dealt with that, I truly got free. Isaiah being the main one, that happened to me as well. And that's partly why I wrote this book. And so here's what I would say. It's very simple. I love the fact that you said apply the blood. That has been on my heart so much. It's yes, you're saved. You accept Christ as Savior, but let's get specific. And that's what the book does. You're going to go through the book and you're going to start to get revelations about things that you need to deal with. And I'm telling you, this book is actually going through the prison systems right now because there are people in jail, in prison that are sharing this book. And they're saying like the Holy Spirit's giving them revelation of what they've inherited and they're dealing with it. And then there's dudes literally doing deliverance on each other in prisons and their family members are writing me back to be like, this book, it's like contraband, like Inherit Your Freedom is contraband in the prison system right now. But here's what it is. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't pray alone. Holy Spirit, reveal to me, what am I dealing with? What, like, yes, I'm saved, but what are those iniquities? What are the patterns of behavior of sin that became iniquity? What are the things that, and I'm telling you, you'll begin to get insights from God and then just confess it. Because here's what happens, Isaiah. Here's what happens. Let's talk about generational witchcraft, like occult practices. What happens is, no, you're not going to hell for your ancestor's sin. I want to say that on record. You're not going to hell for your ancestor's sin. You are accountable for your own sin. But what happens is that iniquity, I believe, becomes a predisposition towards being solicited towards that sin. And that's why people are always shocked to discover that they got involved in the occult, but then they go back and they say, oh, wow, my family was involved in like, you know, a Native American, you know, occult practices. My family was involved in stuff from Latin America and Santeria. My family's from the Caribbean. They did Obia and different forms of witchcraft, but they find that like what was a sin for the previous generation becomes a temptation for this one. And so it's just like sexual perversion. It's like you go back in your bloodline and you find out that there's all kinds of sexual perversion. Once a sin in a previous generation becomes a temptation for you. Like I was thinking about one of my friends the other day, and it's like the Holy Spirit quickened me because I realized that this guy's dad was a homosexual. His uncle was a homosexual. And I started thinking about his family, and homosexuality was in that family. And so what sin in the generations becomes a temptation for you. So of course you're going to hell for your own sin. Because I think when we talk about generational curses, people think, oh, Mike and Isaiah are trying to tell me that I'm going to hell for my family sin. No, but if you're under that curse, it will manifest itself as a temptation, a solicitation.
Good.
And so then all of a sudden, when you start to deal with those things, just like Isaiah said, he started to manifest, the same thing happened for me. It's funny because I was trained under a young John Eckhart who still had hair, praise God. And it was funny because I remember he was talking about curses, and I never knew my dad. You know, I wasn't raised by my biological father. I had multiple abusive stepdads. And when John Eckhart was talking about curses, that started making me think, I don't know what I could have inherited from my dad. And that's the famous story now of, I've gotten millions of views on videos telling this story, like where I locked myself in the bathroom, and it was actually me going through curses and saying, like, I repent and renounce of all sexual perversion. And I really just, and the word renounce means to utterly detest and to hate. So when you renounce something, what you're saying is my ancestors, man, I feel the anointing on this, Isaiah. I hope my camera's working, because this is the truth of what it is. What you're saying, when you say I renounce, the word renounce biblically means to utterly detest or to hate. And so what you're saying is, I renounce the sin of witchcraft in my bloodline. God, I'm repenting and I'm saying I want to utterly detest and hate that sin because you hate it. I am not going to be in agreement with Obia, with Santeria, with witchcraft, with the New Age. Like, I detest it. I hate it because you hate it. And when you begin to go through that process, then you say, God, break every generational curse of witchcraft off of my life. Why? Because you are no longer in agreement with that sin. You're no longer in alignment with that activity. And that's what goes back to the old covenant, because this is a systematic approach to theology, is it says, choose this day blessing or cursing. In other words, choose to obey the law. This was old covenant, or choose to break the law and suffer the consequence with a curse. And it was all about behaviors, attitudes, patterns, like, hey, just like Eli, literally his sons were sexually perverse in the temple. And as a result of that, there was a curse of premature death on that family. Go back and check it out. They literally all died prematurely. But why did they die prematurely? Was it because they were eating KFC? They were eating McDonald's? No, it was because they had disobeyed God's law. And the consequence of breaking the law was the curse of premature death. There was a specific consequence of a curse of premature death that was connected to the specific consequence or the specific sin that they committed. And I think you did such a good job earlier of breaking that down. Specific sin gets visited with a specific curse, which yields a specific consequence. And in my book, that's what I'm dealing with. And dude, I know the devil's mad because tens of thousands of people are getting free. And if you're watching this right now, here's what you do. You go before God and you're like, God, the truth is I don't hate masturbation and pornography. I don't hate the New Age. Actually, the New Age makes me feel powerful. Actually, when I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, I know that's fornication, but it makes me feel so good. Like, I don't hate it. And when you go through that process of sanctification, and I feel like this is the heart of Derek Prince, he would say, like, you need to go before the Father and be like, make me more like you, to where I hate fornication because you hate fornication. I hate the occult because you hate the occult. And in that process, that's real renouncing. It's like, God, like, mold me and fashion me into a clear image of your son, Jesus Christ. And in doing that, what Derek Prince would say is, you're appropriating the level of freedom you you have access to. In other words, just like you said, Isaiah, you're now applying the blood to those different areas of your life. Now you're going on that journey of sanctification. Matter of fact, I feel like there's people watching right now who are like, I'm ready to get down on my knees and deal with some generational sin right now. I'm willing to deal with these things. And that's really the heart of conviction, to be like, God, because, you know, me and you talked about this years ago now, Isaiah. We were at a conference together and I taught on renouncing. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was like, and you were like, dude, more people need to get this. Because a lot of renouncing has turned into a formula in the deliverance world, right? Where it's like, you see people like reading off sheets of paper. I renounce, you know, this, I renounce that. And there's a place for that. Like, but that's training wheel stuff. Like, the renouncing is not an incantation that you say out loud to break a curse. That just is another form of witchcraft. Renouncing is literally saying, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I mold me into an image of Christ to where I hate what you hate. Like, when I renounce it, it means it's vomit to me. I'm never going back to that vomit. My ancestors lived in that vomit. They licked that vomit up. They went back to that vomit all the time. That's why it became iniquity. But God, like it was me when I suffered from alcoholism. I loved drinking alcohol. Mm. I loved the way alcohol tastes. I knew I had all my favorite beers, my favorite wines, my favorite hard liquors. I in the culture of alcohol, I loved everything about it. So when I had to get free from alcoholism, it was saying, God, like, my ancestors loved alcohol too. I have a genetic predisposition towards the bondage, the addiction. That curse was on my life of addiction. But I was like, Lord, in the natural, I don't hate it. I love it. But Lord, wow. I renounce it because I want to hate it, God. And I'll tell you, it makes me want to cry saying this, Isaiah, I can't drink anymore. Like, whatever happened to me, it's puke to me now, man. Like, I'm telling you, like, after I got free from alcoholism, I tried to drink one more time after that for Christian liberties. And dude, I almost threw up after one sip because the Lord changed me, bro. Like, I was like, I actually hate it now. I'm repulsed by the smell of alcohol. In the natural, that makes no sense. But I believe when the generational curse was broken and those demons came out, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I'm thankful for your broadcast. I want to shout you out because you are a straight up assassin. You said so much in the portions that you talked that just obliterated strongholds. And I feel the anointing. I actually feel encouraged by this stream, Isaiah, because I feel like the devil is trying to rob so many people of freedom. And here's what the devil does. Whenever he comes with a lie, he comes masquerading as an angel of light.
Yes.
So it's all, he doesn't come with a pitchfork and horns. He comes as an angel of light. So it's going to be the people who say, why don't we just call it consequences? It's always going to be, it's going to come from another preacher who, when you get done watching that preacher's video, you feel like you got a license to sin, not a conviction to repent. Mm. Like, you, when you watch the person's video, you get done with it and you feel more self-righteous instead of righteous, like more humble, more prideful instead of humble. And I feel like when I'm with you, Isaiah, it just reminds me of like, yeah, man, this book, Inherit Your Freedom, just like your book, it's the kind of book that you're like, no, I'm not hopeless. I'm not confused. I'm not paranoid. I'm not none of the fruit that these people are lying and saying that we're producing, but the real fruit of it is prison systems. Literally, these people are writing their family members, Isaiah, and saying, get me more copies of Inherit Your Freedom because more dudes want to read it. And it's because these guys know. And by the way, just let me tie it up on this because I totally stole your stream. But
no, it's your stream, bro. It's an interview. We're talking about curses, talking about your book. It's your stream.
But there's this, okay, well, and I know you're a little hoarse, and we'll close it. We'll shut it down because they're ready for an altar call already. They're ready for
a moment.
Okay, but I did a lot of research, and I think a lot of the videos that came out about me in this topic were extremely disrespectful to the academic aspect. I mean, if you go to the back of my book, I mean, this is a 300-page book.
Let me say this, though.
Every
guy that called you false about your book, every guy that tried to debate you, not one of them read your book. In every debate you did,
I know.
You asked them saying, did you read my book? They're like, well, I don't have to read your book. How are you going to call somebody's book false that you've never read it? Like, that's so dishonest. That's so lazy. And it goes to show that they're looking for clicks and views. They're looking to use your likeness, your image to pay their bills, which, all right, whatever. But to me, that's fraudulent to make a video about how false your book is when you've never read the book. Like, well, I know what's in it. How do you know? Are you a psychic? Are you new age? How do you know what's in it if you didn't read it? So I just had to throw out. That just made me so irritated watching your debates when everyone you debated, you're like, so did you read the book? They're like, well, no, I didn't read the book. I don't have to. Bro, yes, you do. But if you're going to say it's false, you have to read it. You can't just say, anyways, go ahead. Sorry, I had to throw
that's
it in
it.
There.
No, I mean, that's it. It's, to me, that's anti-intellectual. If you're going to refute somebody's argument, but it's dishonest and it's anti-intellectual. And my point in saying this is this. I looked at it from a scientific perspective, but here's another. This point to me is like one of the biggest points of the book, and it happens on page 24. There was a massive multi-generational study that was done on two different people. One guy's name was Jonathan Edwards, which I'm sure you know. He's like a really respected Puritan preacher who lived in the 1700s. And they basically looked at Jonathan Edwards' genetic lineage. So like, who were the hundreds of people that could connect themselves genetically to Jonathan Edwards and say, like, you know, he had kids who had kids who had kids who had kids, right? And then there was this other guy's name's Max Juke, and they lived at the same time. So they're in the same generation. Now, Max Juke was incarcerated. He was a prisoner. And this is why I think this book is as getting shared in so many prisons right now in the U.S. because of page 24 and 25. And what happened was they did this study, and it is insane. So let me read this. Basically, the guy who did the study said that out of the 1,200 descendants of Max Juke, this is the documented lineage, there were 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 prostitutes, 130 other convicts, 310 beggars, 400 individuals whose lives were ravaged by addiction, and 300 who died in infancy. Mm. Now, when you look, but here's what's crazy. When you look at the legacy of Jonathan Edwards, who's a preacher, and Isaiah, I think about you, bro, with your girls, but I think about your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren because, like, man, here's why I respect you so much. I've been in your home. I've been to your church. It's the way that your family treats you. That is your resume. Like, that is, like, you're a man of God. You lead your home. I mean, I wish pastors led their churches the way you lead your home. But here's why I get excited. Here's why I get excited. If the Lord tarries, and let's say 200-300 years goes by, what happened of the lineage of Isaiah Saldivar? I believe we already know because they looked at Jonathan Edwards, who is a preacher, fiery preacher, and it says his lineage produced a U.S. vice president, a dean of a law school, a medical school superintendent, 3 U.S. senators, governors of 3 states, mayors of 3 cities, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professors, 75 military officers, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, 100 other pastors, and 285 college graduates. But the thing is, here's the difference. Jonathan Edwards chose Christ. He chose a life of extreme sobriety. He was like, I mean, the dude, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God, like a sanctified life. And then Max Juke just gave way to whatever sin he wanted to do. And so I think that this is, so for those of you watching, like, it's about the families, bro. It's about the bloodline.
Yeah. And that's what it's about. It's about passing down a blessing and a legacy to your kids. That's so interesting. So you're saying the guy who was a pastor and preacher, they studied all of his lineage and people came out to be lawyers and doctors and politicians and leaders. And then they studied the guy who was just doing whatever. And they came out to be criminals. I mean, if you look at a study like that and don't believe there's generational curses, I don't know what else would convince you that there's something going on in people's bloodline. Let me add one more thing to breaking generational curses, and then we're going to pray.
Yeah.
We're going to renounce. We're going to pray. We're going to hate our sin. We're going to ask the Lord for expose and free us and all of these things. I believe this is another practical way to break generational curses. Change your behavior. So many people come to me, Mike, and they go, I want to get free from this curse. Will you pray for me?
Yes.
It's like, yes, I can pray for you, but also you can say no to pornography. Also, you can say no. You don't have to wait until you feel something break, which you might tonight. But you could also say, I'm going to hate pornography because the Bible says sexual sin is sin against my body. I'm going to hate alcohol because I saw what it did to my dad. I saw what it did to my grandma. I saw what it did to my great grandfather. I'm going to hate adultery because I saw what it did to my family. I'm going to hate jealousy and anger and bitterness because I saw my father beat my mom. Whatever, fill in the blank. I'm going to hate what this addiction did to, because I saw my mom struggle for years with poverty, and I hate the curse of poverty, which is a curse in the Bible. I hate, you have to look at this and say, I'm going to change. I'm not going to wait for an altar call. I'm not going to wait for a deliverance. I'm going to change my actions so I don't pass this down to my kids. What if breaking generational curses wasn't always a specific formula? What if it was changing your actions? What if it was saying no to that cigarette? What if it was saying no to that bottle? What if it was saying no to going to the club again? No to going to the bar again? No to speeding and driving recklessly? Hey, my father died in a car accident. My great-grandfather died in a car accident. My great-aunt died in a car accident. Maybe I shouldn't be driving 90 miles an hour at 1 o'clock in the morning trying to get home. Maybe I shouldn't be driving reckless on the freeway. Maybe there's practical actions that I can change today in my life to not make excuses and say, I'm going to break this curse. Because I do believe, Mike, there's a wrestling, there's a prayer, there's a renouncing, there's a hatred for sin. And I also believe there's a practical application of saying no to that drink, of saying no to that girl, of saying no to that guy, of saying no to that anger, of saying no. When that rage starts bubbling up in me, going, no, I'm not going to live my life angry. I'm going to say no to my flesh. I'm going to apologize to my wife. Amen. So many guys have not done that in a lifetime. I'm going to apologize to my kids. I'm going to change the way I talk. I'm going to humble myself. Things have to change. Things have to change. So I'm not going to let this. Hey, if you see pride in your mom or in your dad and you see pride rising up in you, nope, I'm not going to allow this. I saw my parents pass this down to me. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to take the low road. I'm going to wash feet. So it can't just only always be a spiritual thing where I go, I got to do a spiritual formula. Because there are a lot of Christians, Mike, that want just pray a prayer over me and everything will be fine. That's great. But there were places in the Bible where God told Moses, stop praying, raise your staff and divide the sea. They were all crying, Lord, help us, the Egyptians. And God said, stop crying out to me. Stop praying and do something. And for some of you, you've had everybody pray over you and anoint you and all that. And that there is a place, and we're going to do that tonight. I don't ever want you guys, you know, I'm a man of prayer. I believe that prayer works. Every time we pray, something happens. But I don't want to use prayer as a cop-out not to say no to sin. And I don't want to blame demons for my own decisions, okay? Demons are not making you. They're enticing you and giving you desires, but they're not forcing you. We cannot blame demons or even blame curses. We got to break free. We got to break free. And I think there's a time where you can change your choices and break the curses. By the changing of the choice, the curse can also break. And prayer and fasting and renouncing, and hating sin, and doing what Mike did and saying, I'm going to go in my bathroom and I'm going to renounce, I'm going to hate these things, and doing what I did and saying, Lord, there's this curse in my life. I'm going to invite a friend over to pray for me. And I did.
Yeah.
And my friend came and prayed and the curse broke. So it's all those things. It's not one thing or the other, but we can't just go from revival to revival expecting someone to wave a wand over us or lay a hand on us, and there's no responsibility. We got to take responsibility. Some of us don't need deliverance. We need discipleship. We need discipline. Like, we need discipline. It's like, I don't know why I keep falling. I know why. You're up late at night on TikTok again. If you're in your bed till 2 a.m. on TikTok, I know why you keep falling. You think the algorithm's recommending clean content at 2 a.m? You don't think the algorithm knows it's 2 a.m. in their time zone? We're going to give them content that somebody would watch at 2 a.m. Like, I keep falling. It's like, well, yeah, you're on Instagram till midnight. Of course you're falling. You're in your office late at night doing what you shouldn't be doing on internet sites you shouldn't be on. So guys, we have to also wrestle with that. We have to wrestle with that and say, something has to change in my life. It could even be, you know, bad diet, not exercising, falling into lethargy, getting lazy. I'm telling you, bad diet, bad sleep schedule, poor exercise will lead you to sin. This is proven studies after studies. It will lead you to do things that you should not be doing. So these all apply. Mike, I know we've gone long. I know You don't have a time, so I don't. Who am I apologizing to? We can go as long as we want, right? I'm not. I was gonna apologize to you, but I'm like, why am I apologizing to him? He said we can go as long as we want. Let's pray. I feel the spirit on this. The book is in the description, guys. I know Mike believes this, and I believe this as well. More than we care, guys. Who cares about our books? You don't have to buy our books. You don't need to buy How to Cast Your Demons. You don't need to buy Inherit Your Freedom. More than any of that. We want to see the Holy Ghost touch you. We want to see your life change, whether you support or not, whether you can or can't. That's all here nor there. All the only reason why we're even doing these books and stuff, if you guys knew how little we make on them, you'd laugh. But here's why we're doing what we're doing. I think they're like $13 on Amazon after it's printed, after we get like a dollar or two. Okay. There's not the, we're not making all this money from our books. Trust me. Here's the bottom line. We're trying to make it easier for you to understand that you can be free. We're trying to make it simpler for you to understand. This is all we're trying to tell you. You need to get to a place tonight where you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I can be free. I don't have to deal with drugs anymore. I don't have to live under lust and perversion and addiction. I can get free from this. I can get washed by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to read or buy the books to get free. You don't have to read or buy our books to get delivered, but what you do need to do is repent of your sin and say, God, I need you tonight. God, wash me tonight. God, cleanse me tonight. God, I'm going all in. God, I'm tired of being lukewarm. I'm tired of being half in. I'm tired of back and forth. And one day I'm up and one day I'm down. Tonight I'm breaking it. I'm not going to pass down a curse to my daughters. I have four daughters. Mm. You better believe I'm not passing down curses to them. You know what I'm passing down to my daughters? Blessings. I'm passing down spiritual inheritance. They're going to be blessed. We have never, one thing, just small example, we never tell our kids is we're poor, we're broke, we don't have money. I heard a preacher tell me a long time ago before I had kids, he was preaching about how for so many years traveling, preaching, he didn't have money. And he said, I never once told my kids I was poor. I never once said we didn't have any money because I will not pass down a poverty mindset to my kids. And so I even had kids, I said, you know what? I'm never going to be saying, oh, we're broke. Oh, we don't have money. Oh, we don't have, even if we don't have it, because there were times where we had negative in our bank account many times. And Alyssa's watching. She knows that's the truth. I would never tell my kids, we're negative in our account. We can't afford that. We're broke. We don't have money like the neighbors. No, I'm not passing down a poverty mindset. We're blessed.
That's it.
We're blessed. We might not have money in the bank, Mike, but we're blessed. We might not have the biggest house, but we're blessed. Don't pass these poverty mindsets and these mentalities to your kids. You got to pass down blessings. You got to pass down a prayer life.
Yeah.
You got to pass down an inheritance. I look at my grandfather. I'll say this last thing, and then I'm going to pass it to you, Mike, and you can lead us into prayer.
Yeah.
I look at my grandfather, and I get emotional talking about it. My grandfather did not leave anything. He had he didn't leave anything financially. He lived in a trailer in a city by us, but I'll tell you what he left. Man, ugh. I get emotional talking about this. Woo, I did not think I was going to get emotional, but I'm getting emotional. Okay, here we go. Sunday, this last Sunday, I preached five services. My cousin Z, who's obviously a product of my grandfather, preached. My other cousin Rocky, who when my grandfather passed away was addicted to drugs and doing everything you can imagine, he preached. Me and my two cousins, who are all a product of my grandfather passed away in a trailer home, had no inheritance to pass, no physical, but I'll tell you what my grandfather passed down, a spiritual inheritance to me, to my cousins, to my aunts, to my uncles. And that is worth more than him saying, I have all this money to give you, Isaiah. I have all this property and all this real estate. Guys, whether you're in a trailer park right now, whether you have all this money to pass down to your kids, pass down legacy. When my grandfather passed, some of my cousins were on drugs that are now preachers. My grandfather didn't see that, but he prayed. I wish I had the video queued up. I have a video of my grandfather as he's dying, an hour before he died. I'm holding his hand and he's saying, Isaiah, don't stop preaching. Isaiah, don't give up. Make disciples. Go hard for God. And my grandfather loved to preach, but you know, we rarely gave him the mic because he would preach for days. He would never pass the mic. But he had his chance on his deathbed. All the grandkids, we had, you know, he didn't have a choice. He's like, I'm preaching. You have to listen. I'm on my deathbed. He preached to every one of us. And he said, make disciples. Nothing in this life matters. Live for eternity. Go all in for God. And that is what we have to pass down. We got to pass down legacy. We got, because I remember that. I'm not going to remember. My kids don't care about a gold play button. You think my daughter's going to be like, oh, we remember our dad passed down a gold play button. They don't care if I have a million subscribers. They care about, was my father a man of God? Was he who he says he is? Did he live for God? Did he live right? Did he live clean? And so I think this is the place we got to be. Pass down legacy. I apologize for those of you for me getting all emotional and crying. We got to pass down legacy. We got to pass down inheritance. At the end of the day, that's what the books are about. That's what his book's about. That's what my book's about. That's what we want to preach. Let's wrestle tonight. Let's pray tonight, Mike. And for those that are on the edge of their seat going, I want to break this. I want you guys to wrestle tonight. I want you guys to renounce as loud as you can. Fight and wrestle with your compromise. Wrestle with your sin. Do what Mike did. Go into the bathroom tonight. I see this, dude. I see this in the spirit.
Yeah.
I see some of you in the bathroom vomiting up in your toilet, getting delivered tonight with this on your iPhone right there on the toilet seat saying, I hate pornography. I hate drug addiction. I hate lust. The way Mike went into his bathroom and wrestled, I believe tonight as we pray, some of you are going to wrestle. Sorry, Mike, that I would just went off for 20 minutes.
No, listen.
But, man, I felt the Holy
Ghost. Watched, like.
No, we lost you. Hold on. We lost you. Don't talk. Don't talk. Stay there. Right as, like, it's been clear for 30 minutes.
The grandfather.
And then right as he's about to pray. Can you hear me? We lost you.
Get
for a minute.
Out. Really?
Yeah, okay. You're back. You're back. Go ahead. You said, we heard you said something about your grandfather. No, we lost him again. Oh, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Thank you, Lord.
Man.
God, restore the stream.
Come
restore
on.
The stream. Let's give it a minute here. Father, I just pray right now that you'd restore what's the stream, God, that you're moving, that your power's moving, God, your Holy Spirit is touching people. Someone said, I'm in my bathroom right now crying. Lord, that you're touching people that are in their bathrooms, that are getting delivered, that are getting free. God, that we are inheriting our freedom tonight. That we are inheriting. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for what you did on the cross. And we pray tonight, God, that the curses are breaking, that it stops here, that it stops. Some of you need to speak that boldly. It stops here, that the curses are breaking. You're back, Mike. Sorry, you cut
Come
out
on.
Again.
Yeah, yeah, let's, you know, just keep flowing with me.
Gosh,
what is, what I saw a vision of some of you right now literally pouring the alcohol out, but I want
Come
you
on.
To film it and I want you to publicly post it because many of you have the fear of man on you. You're afraid of what your friends think. You're afraid of what your family thinks. And I believe that God is going to get your, I just saw people getting like double the amount of freedom because you're going to literally film yourself. And I want you to tag me, tag Isaiah, put it on Instagram stories, whatever you got to do, and show us the vape, the cigarette, the weed, the marijuana, the drugs, the cocaine. There's somebody with a cocaine addiction watching right now. I don't know why the Holy Spirit like is highlighting that, but it's like this, you literally have an expensive cocaine addiction, but the Lord's breaking it right now. And you've been wanting to get free. But I also believe there's an accountability for some of this stuff. And there's some of you that like part of your repentance is even going to be like, I'm putting this online and I'm drawing the line online. Like that's the way I heard it in the spirit. I'm drawing the line online. Like I'm publicly going to out myself.
Come
I'm
on.
No longer smoking. I'm no longer drinking. I'm no longer doing these things. And I just want to encourage you because when Isaiah was talking about his grandfather, I'm the grandfather in that story. I'm the first generation on my father's side to ever step into the gospel.
Wow.
And it brought me to tears. But there's many of you that were like, I feel like, and I just have to be bold, Isaiah, there's many of you who you're supposed to be the grandfather in the story, but you keep going back to sin. It's like the enemy wants to destroy your testimony and he wants to take your legacy. There's a warfare for legacy. I see it so clearly. And I believe that this stream was God's way of saying, no, your legacy belongs to me. You are not going to go back. You are not going to continue to relapse. And so just continue to repent, continue to grab it, go get stuff out of storage if you have to, whatever that looks like. I know this sounds random, but I got to just do this one last thing. I keep seeing in the spirit a vision of these like romance, like erotic novels. I know this sounds crazy. I don't think I've even said this on a stream before, but it's like there's a woman that's addicted to these like erotic novels. And the Lord's like, and I believe like the Lord wants you to go into the word this year. And I just see it's like the Bible and these erotic novels. And the Lord's like, you cannot serve two masters. And
we lost him. Thank you, Lord. Restore it, Jesus. Restore it, Jesus. The devil is a liar, guys. The last thing we heard was you cannot serve two masters.
Get out.
You hear me? Yeah, you said you cannot serve two masters. I saw these erotic novels. That's the last thing.
Wow. Yeah, just get rid of them. Just get rid of them. And that's going to be part of your repentance, because the Lord's dealing with root systems as well.
Oh, we lost you again. Lord, help us. Restore this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Like, it's a, you know, the loneliness.
You're cutting out again, Mike. Let me just say a prayer, and then we'll kind of come to a close here. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that there would be breakthrough, that you would cover every single, there's 2,000 of you on here right now, and I pray for every single one of you, every single one of you, to be covered in the curse-breaking blood of Jesus, that the curse is breaking in Jesus' name, that there is freedom in Jesus' name, that Satan, you have no power, you have no authority. Some of you need to tell those spirits attached to these curses, get out of my body. I am not your home. You need to wrestle right now. Don't wait for us to pray over you. Wrestle right now and say, demons, get out of my body. Every demonic spirit attached to a curse, I command you out of my body right now. You got to come against that sin. I renounce the sin of witchcraft. I renounce the sin of pornography. I renounce the sin of anger. I renounce jealousy. Just come on, go to war against it right now. Every ancestral spirit, every demonic power in my bloodline, it stops now. I will not pass this down to my kids in Jesus' name. I will not keep giving into this in Jesus' name. Lord, help me. And you guys pray this. I'm just leading you. Pray this. Lord, help me get free from this in Jesus' name. God, help me to say no to the drugs. God, help me to say no to the alcohol. God, help me to say no to my compromise. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Jesus said daily you should pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. That's literally a prayer Jesus said to pray. That's the Lord's prayer. Deliver me from evil, God. Free me from the bondage of sin, God. Break every curse in my bloodline in Jesus' name. Father, we want freedom. We want deliverance, Lord. We need your spirit, God. We need your power. Lord, tonight we inherit freedom. God, we cannot earn it. Some of you think, well, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us can deserve. None of us can inherit this by our own will. We inherit this because of the finished work of the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you're setting the captives free. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you're changing bloodlines. You're changing legacy, God. You're changing destinies. We just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, bring breakthrough, bring freedom. Pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your fire right now. Baptize them in the Holy Spirit and fire. We pray breakthrough right now. Chains are breaking. People are getting free. As Mike said, throw out the novels. Throw out the lust. Pour the alcohol down the drain. Stop with the whole, it's just one, just pour it down. It destroyed your family, destroyed your marriage. Get rid of it. The gummy bears, the prescription pills, all of the edibles that you're justifying, get rid of them. You know your prescription expired 3 years ago. You know you're buying it illegally. Stop justifying it. The back pain's gone. Stop acting like you need those pills still. It's time to come to grips with reality. No more. Clean the house out. Yeah, Sandra just said it in the chat. Clean the house out. Lord, help us. What is in our house that you want us to get rid of? God, what are we doing? What are we entertaining? We want to host the Holy Ghost. We want to host the presence of God. We want our house to be saturated in your presence. Lord, help us, God. Some of you need to just lay hands on your kids. You've already passed these things down. And you know, some of you, your kids are older, and you see that same sin in their life that you do. You got to pray over them tonight. Do deliverance on your kids. You know, the devil has so lied to you, making you think that you can't do deliverance on your kids. You got to bring them to Isaiah's event. You got to bring them to Micah's event. No, you don't. Do deliverance on your own kids. Pray over your own kids. Lay your hands on them. Command those spirits to leave. Command those things to leave. Not my kids. Come out of my kids in Jesus' name. Leave my daughter. Leave my son. Satan, you have no power. My children are not your home. Pack your bags. Go to the abyss in Jesus' name. Every foul spirit must go. Take authority. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop being in the passenger seat and letting the devil drive. Take authority over your home. If your house is constantly chaotic, take authority. We come against these spirits of chaos in Jesus' name. Make your house a place where demons don't want to be. Make your life a place where demons don't want to be. Lord, I pray you bless them, anoint them in Jesus' name. Mike, you've been freezing off and on. Listen, there's nothing we can do about this, guys. It is what it is. It's technology. It's live streaming. He has beyond good internet. I have good internet. It's showing clear on my end, but it's Discord servers. I don't know what to say. There's nothing we can do. The devil's a loser. He's a liar. We got through no matter what. Make sure, guys, that you grab this. Wrestle with this, guys. Even as we're closing the stream, I'm going to take up a love offering after I get him off. Continue to wrestle tonight, guys. Just because we're ending doesn't mean you're ending. Continue to fight these things. Continue to wrestle. Mike, the minute you have before you freeze, where can they find you? Where can they plug in? I have your book linked in the description, but is there anywhere else that they can find you as well?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but real quick, just go.
Oh, he froze. The devil's a liar. Hold on, hold on. Man, this is so lame. Hold on.
Com.
Hold on, Mike. Are you there?
Yeah.
You literally said go to and then you froze. Say it again. Say it again before
it's
you
so
freeze.
Crazy. Go to MikeSignorelli.com. Everything's there.
Okay. MikeSignorelli.com. Mike, thank you so much for being on. Hey, listen.
Thank you.
At least this happened at the end. At least it's really freezing at the end. Yeah. The Lord's going to do what he wants to do. Thank you so much for being on, and let's do something together soon.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Love you so much.
Thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Yep.
All right, guys. Amazing. Let's sow into his ministry tonight. It is what it is, guys. We went as long as we could. I don't know what to say. It happens. We're online. We're live streaming. That's part of live streaming, is these things happen. Hold on. Let me fix my camera. Now my camera is out of sync. I'm going to fix my camera. If you were blessed tonight, I know it was a little bit chaotic. We had to start a second stream. Look, now my camera's going out. The devil is a liar. We're back. So into the broadcast. We are viewer supported. We're crowdfunded. So content's free. We pour out our lives, and you guys can support our ministries and what we're doing to keep, you know, keep going forward. So as the chat says, don't dine and dash. Don't dine and dash. Sow into what God is doing. If you cannot afford it, then don't give. If you want to give, isaiahsalivar.com/partner. You can also scan the QR code on screen. Pray about becoming a monthly partner with our ministry. I'm going to stay on for a few more minutes and read the chat and hang out. Man, live streaming is just, it's a roller coaster, y'all. I'm reading the chat. I love you guys. The man doesn't age. Who, me? Am I not aging? I'm seeing some wrinkles. A little bit of wrinkles. I mean, not much. I have a wrinkle here from never wearing sunglasses and always squinting. But, you know, I don't mind aging. I don't mind aging. Jared will not be going live tonight. They have some stuff that they're taking care of and dealing with, so they will not be going live tonight. We're going to hang out for a bit. We have our Venmo there. We have our PayPal. It is 80. I want to show you guys how hot it is in my studio right now. I'm actually sweating. You ready for this? 80 degrees in my studio right now. I should have put the air conditioning on. I get probably heaters on because it's cold outside. Yeah, 80 degrees. I'm sweating. I'm excited to get out of the studio because it is hot. Great live. There's all the giving links. PayPal, Zelle, Cash App. It's all on screen. All right. Support what we're doing. Guys, we're grinding it out, guys. All right. It's not easy right now. The views are at an all-time low. The live streams are not getting pushed out. I don't know what's going on YouTube. Well, actually, I do know what. During political times, basically, the only content getting recommended is political content. So in my world, this content is not getting pushed out. So we uploaded a sermon yesterday. It was our lowest viewed video ever. Because if you're not putting out political content in the Christian world, you're not getting recommended. And I want to put out teaching and sermons and podcasts. So support us. Support us. We're on the struggle bus, but we're pushing through. We had 2,000 people on the live tonight. We peaked at 2,000. So I'm grateful. But yeah, it is what it is. I cannot believe how hot it is. I feel like I'm being cooked right now. This is crazy. I have a fan blasting on me, but it's just too hot. My PC puts out a lot of heat. And yeah, it is what it is. It's hot. Thank you guys for sowing and partnering. Where's my chicken? I don't know what that means. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. All right, there's the link. The monthly partnership is on my website. isaiahsalivar.com/partner. Please pray about partnering with us. You get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store. And every Thursday at 1:30 p.m., we get together with all the monthly partners and we pray. So there is that. I will be preaching this Sunday in Arizona. This Sunday, Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. Do not miss it. January 26th. If you're in Arizona, come to Mesa this Sunday. January 26th, Without Walls Church. 10 a.m., show up strong. We're going to have our books there in person. It's going to be powerful. Please be there. Jared's going to be with me. It's going to be amazing. This Sunday. No, I'm not close to the fires. I'm about 6 hours away. Do the cats have names yet? Not really. Not really. They have multiple names each, but we haven't decided yet. Yeah, Alyssa did announce this and be praying for us, guys. We're going to probably make a video about it. But we have started, as of yesterday, homeschooling our kids. Okay? Lots of changes in our house. I'll be posting a video next week about all the changes, future of the channel, where I'm at personally with YouTube and online, and what my feelings are about it, and some new stuff we're going to be doing. But be praying for us. This is going to be a very big undertaking. We're going to be homeschooling our four kids. And obviously, I'm going to be helping homeschool. I'm not just going to tell my wife, oh, it's up to you. If you guys know me, I take pride in the fact that I'm a very involved father. I help out with the stuff with the kids. I put them to bed at night. I do things like that. And I'm very present. I'm with them all the time. So I will be helping as much as my wife needs. I don't know how much that will be, but as much as my wife needs my help, I will be available to help homeschool. So yeah, we will be homeschooling our kids. We're homeschooling our kids. So pray for Alyssa. The big undertaking. Pray for me. The Lord has really just worked on my wife's heart. If you saw her Instagram post and her Facebook post, and the Lord's been preparing her for the last few months. If I told you guys all the stuff that's been going on in our life, it's been crazy. But in the midst of all the craziness in our life recently with school and our kids' school and homeschool and all of that, the Lord has been with us. The Lord has prepared us. The Lord has gotten us ready. So yes, pray for Alyssa, pray for me, pray for us. Big things changing. We're going from dropping our kids off at school at 8 a.m. and picking them up at 2:30 to homeschooling. So big changes. But listen, my wife is amazing at everything she does. I've told her for years, she's in the chat, she knows it's true, that she would be amazing at homeschooling. And the way that she is right now, and I'm seeing her getting the curriculum, getting things ready, getting their computers, all the stuff she's doing, I knew she was gonna be that way. And the Lord's worked on her, and it's amazing. So I'm super, super proud of Alyssa and what God's done in her in the last few months. And I knew she had it in her because I've seen the way she plans things and plans events and plans birthday parties. She's just awesome with all of that. If you know my wife is a planner. She's strategic. There's nobody in all of our family that can plan a birthday party like my wife. And the same way she has that passion she has now with homeschooling. And thank you, Lord. It's amazing. I love it. Listen, my dream was to have my kids homeschooled. You can ask my wife that. When we talked about it years ago, I'm like, I would love for all my kids to be homeschooled, but I didn't want to ever force my wife or force it. And now that the Lord is making a way, I'm excited. I grew up homeschooled. If you guys don't know, I was homeschooled my whole life. The first time I ever went to a physical school was college. I graduated high school at 16 years old from homeschool and started college at 16. And that was the first time I ever walked foot in a school was in college. So that's my dream, is that all my kids are homeschooled. I love that. And all you homeschool families, you're amazing. We know God's going to guide us, guard us, lead us, protect us, provide, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And like I said, it's going to be a big life change for us, but whatever help she needs, I'm here. Thank God that I'm not traveling like I used to be and I'm home all the time. Like, I'm literally home all the time. So yeah, super grateful for what God is doing. We'll probably make a video about it at some point, talking about homeschool and all of that, but yeah. The Lord is good. We are homeschooling four kids. I'm cutting out. That's unfortunate. YouTube. Not my end. My end's clear. All right. The links to give are there. Thank you guys for giving and sowing. I don't know if we'll be live Thursday because I'm going to be leaving to Arizona on Saturday and I got a bunch of stuff to get done. I got videos to film, stuff to do, and I got to gear up for an announcement coming soon. Lots of changes in our life, but yeah. Gonna be good. I love you guys so much. Tonight was amazing. Thank you guys so much. Alyssa said dinner is ready. Say less. I'm cooking. It's 81 degrees. I'm starving. I haven't ate. It's 81 degrees. I'm hot. I'm tired. And I'm ready to go eat dinner. So thank you guys for giving. I'm gonna be sending Pastor Mike a love offering. Whatever comes in, I'm gonna be sending his way. As we've said before, don't dine and dash. If you can't afford to give, I understand. But there's 1,200 of you in here right now. If everybody gave a dollar, that'd be huge. So even if it's a dollar, $5, you're like, it's not much. It's fine, guys. If you go to a restaurant, eat a good meal, you pay. You don't have to pay here, but if you're inclined to, if you've been blessed, if God's blessed you, listen, you sow, you reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. It is what it is. For those of you asking about Kingdom Music, Brian, all of that, I'm as heartbroken as everybody else, and I don't have any comments because you can read their statement on Kingdom Music. I love their ministry. I love what God has done through them. I don't know all the details of what's going on. I read the same statement you guys have all read. All I can say about the whole situation is pray for their family. That's it. I read the same statement as you. Pray for their family. Let's stay humble. Let's stay holy. Let's stay living pure, and let's continue to serve the Lord. The dinner bell's ringing, yes. What camera am I using? I usually use a Sony FX3, but right now I'm using a Sony A7 S3, which is video-wise the same. But yeah, Sony A7 S3 with a 20mm f1.8 G Master Pro lens. 20mm G Master Pro f1.8 Sony A7 S3. And I'm shooting at 4K 60 frames. The Cash App is on the screen, brother. Cash App is Isaiah Luke Saldivar. You could also click Cash App in the comments. Yes, pray for Brian's wife. Pray for their ministry, for sure. Okay, I love you guys. Love you guys. We'll see you guys soon. God bless. Thanks for sowing and giving. Did I watch the video? Yes, I did. Very, very sad, guys. Like I said, I have no special information on it other than what you guys have seen online. Sad stuff, guys. We just got to remain humble. We got to remain humble. The Bible says, woe, the mighty have fallen. We got to just stay humble. Love you guys so much. See you guys soon. Love you all. God bless. I'll be seeing a lot more of you guys soon. Announcement coming next week. God bless. Carl wants to say hi. You know what? Carl hasn't danced in a while. Why don't we just let Carl dance a little bit? Oh, of course the song ends right as Carl starts dancing. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. It's been a fun stream. Where else can you go and hear a two-hour stream about breaking curses, have an altar call, and then watch a dancing pigeon? I mean, seriously. Did you guys miss Carl dancing? He hasn't been dancing lately. All right, I smell food. Good night, guys. Love you all.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.